principles we were discussing in that. Anybody recall? What do we have to establish with them first? Okay, we got to talk about the Bible as being the inerrant Word of God. Do we agree on that and that it is the truth? Okay, what else do we have to establish? We talked about the idea of establishing that how much of the Bible do we need to pay attention to? All of it. In other words, that we can't treat it like a buffet and that we pick and choose the parts we like and throw the rest of it away. That it's a package deal. It's all of it. And then we were talking about the fact that basically we have to realize that having religion or going to church or being a good person isn't enough. That what we've got to do is make sure that we're living in obedience to God's Word. Okay, it's one thing to accept God's Word as being the truth, okay, and realizing that, yeah, we've got to follow all of it, not just some of it, but that needs to be how we are living our life, because we are emphasizing Matthew chapter 7, that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And we want the people to understand that you can go to church and you can do a lot of good things in the name of the Lord, but if you're not living in obedience to Him, you'll still be lost and you will hear on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. So we're really trying to emphasize those foundational concepts when we're initially trying to study with someone. Okay. Now, what we're going to do from here is we're going to look at some specifics in terms of topics, but specifically this morning we're going to talk about a particular group of people. How do we study with Jehovah's Witnesses? What are some things that are helpful for us to know that if you have opportunity to sit down and talk with and study with someone who's a Jehovah's Witness, what's some things that you can do with that particular person or persons that you have opportunity to study with? Okay, the reason that I want to focus on this is really two things. Number one is that a lot of our members have family members or friends that are Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And I know some of y'all have already talked with, you know, a lot of times, and how frustrated have you gotten in doing that? Yeah, okay. The other reason is because Jehovah's Witnesses are one of religious groups today that are very evangelistic, okay? In fact, there's a lot of things we can learn from them about evangelism, okay? They're going out door knocking, and they're going to people, and they're talking to folks about, you know, what they believe and so forth, all right? And so your chances of encountering Jehovah's Witnesses are pretty good. All right. If you haven't already had them come visit, then chances are you will at some point. That they'll come knocking on your door and offer to study with you. Now, initially, when you study with Jehovah's Witnesses or when they initially come to your door and they want to study, okay, how do you approach that? Okay, that's one way you can do it. And that's probably how most of us do it, right? Okay, what are some other approaches that you can take? Okay. Right. Okay. Jehovah's Witnesses don't come very much to our house anymore because those who have come in the past, we've welcomed them in and said, yeah, let's study. I love to study the Bible. And after we kind of go through what we study, then I think what they've done is they've kind of let their folks know that that guy's a minister. Don't go to his house because we don't know how to answer his his stuff, okay? But here's a couple of things that I would suggest you. Number one, again, you got to decide, do you want to be bothered by these people, okay? And yeah, you could look at it as it's a waste of time. I don't know of any of the Jehovah's Witnesses I've ever studied with, and there's been several. I don't know of any of them that have ever come to the Lord, okay? But I don't know that any haven't either, Okay? What I'm suggesting to you is you have an opportunity to plant some seeds of doubt in their mind as to what they've been believing and what they've been following by showing them what? The truth. Okay? So if I can plant those seeds of doubt in their mind, I don't know where those seeds are going to go, but at least I've put them there and challenged them to think about what they're believing and so forth. That may cause them, who knows, they may come back sometime, they may talk to somebody else, you never know. But at least I have planted the seed. Okay, Chuck? It's great, except that they're teaching false doctrine, you know. I mean, great that they're evangelistic, but I just wish they were teaching the truth. Go ahead.
Well, I guess this is the best thing to do would be to make sure that they believe that the Bible is the word of God.
Right.
Before you start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've got their own Bible. We'll talk about that in just a few moments, okay? But here's something that you can do. That's kind of I'm going to try to take every opportunity I can to plant a seed. Okay? And they come by, you know, then yeah, let's study. Realizing at the same time, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time here. They're not sincere about it then. So here's a question that I've started asking. If I could show you something that you believe that is in contradiction to the Bible, would you want to know that? Okay? Now just think about that question. All right? They want to study the Bible, right? I want to study the Bible. I know what they believe, because I've studied a lot about what they believe, okay? I'd encourage you to do the same thing, okay? But bottom line is, if they can answer that question one of two ways, right? If they say no, I'm not going to waste my time with you. If you don't really want to know the truth, then I don't have time for you, okay? I've offered them the opportunity. What I've told them is, number one, there are some things about what you believe and what you're teaching that are not in agreement with the Bible. Do you want to know that? If they're really sincere about teaching the truth and knowing the truth, then they're going to say, well, yes, I would like to know that. I would, you know, if somebody asked me that, somebody said, hey, if I could show you something that, you know, you believe and you practice that's not in accordance with the Bible, would you want to know that? Well, absolutely I want to know that. So if they don't want to know that, then right away there's a problem, and I'm not going to waste my time. If they say, well, yes, I do want to know that, and I have had some do that, okay, come on in, let's study then. All right, Margie?
And if they are really sincere about their belief, they'll be willing to really want to know the truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. So basically that's where I kind of begin with the greeting at the door. Do you want to know the truth? If I could show you something that you believe and practice that is not that is in contradiction with the Bible, would you want to know that? Okay. Anne?
Who wrote their Bible? Where did it?
We're going to go over that in just a second here, okay? So hang with me a second, all right? So that's basically the direction. So they say, well, yeah, I would like to know that. All right, well, great. Come on in. Let's study. Okay, so we come in. We're going to sit down and study. Now, there are some things that you need to know about what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that can help you in studying with them. Remember, keep in mind, and you most likely you're not going to convince them and get them. They're not going to walk away from that first meeting going, oh, great, I want to be baptized today. They have been indoctrinated, okay? You need to understand that. Those that are going out door to door and they're teaching, they have been indoctrinated into the teachings that they have, okay? Keep in mind, my goal is to plant some seeds there, okay? I want to plant seeds of doubt as to what they're believing and what they're holding on to that might cause them to start questioning that, maybe over time and so forth. So that's what I'm trying to do, is plant seeds of doubt. Everybody with me on that? Okay, a couple of things that you need to understand, okay? Now, when they want to come and study, they have a set program that they want to study with you. They want to share with you, okay? They want to take you from point A to point B. And they know how to do that very well. And the reason they know how to do that is because that's what they have been taught and trained to do. Okay? The thing that works in our favor is, if you get them off of that that mode and so forth, they don't have a clue as to what most of the rest of the Bible teaches, because they don't study it. What they have been taught is their certain doctrines and how to defend and promote their doctrines. So you get them away from their doctrines, okay, and then they don't know how to. And the other thing is, and I do the same thing, when I sit down and do a Bible study with someone, who's leading the Bible study? I am. Okay? When they sit down to lead a Bible study, who do they want to be leading the Bible study?
They want themselves.
Okay, who's going to lead this one? I am. Okay? I am. You're coming into my house. We're going to sit down. Let's study the Bible together. Okay? And here's the question that we're going to focus on. And I tell them right off the bat, what I want to talk about is who Jesus is. And here's what I tell them. Because if we can't agree on who Jesus is, we don't have anything more to talk about. Okay? There's nothing else for us to discuss. If we can't agree on who Jesus is, there's nothing more to discuss. End of it. Okay? So we need to talk about who Jesus is. Now, why do I want to do that? Exactly. And I know what their concept is. Okay? What is that concept? Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. Okay? They believe that Jesus is a spirit person or a lesser God. Okay? And we'll talk about the problems with that doctrine here in just a second, all right? But here's from their book, You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth. Okay, this is one of their publications of what they teach, all right? Before being born on earth as a man, Jesus had been in heaven as a mighty spirit person. Okay, where did he come from? He is also called God's firstborn, as well as his only begotten son. This means that he was created before all the other spirit sons of God. And he is the only one who was directly created by God. That's what their publication says. All right, page 58 in the copy that I have. All right, so Jesus is not God; he's a spirit person. And basically, if you keep reading the stuff, it's kind of like, well, he's a created being like the rest of the angels, and he's almost like one level above the angels. But he was created by God. Okay? Now, how do we then address this belief? Again, I want to keep the discussion focused on who is Jesus. All right? Let's go to John 1 in verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you notice that I have on here this the little article A there, okay? That's because in the New World Translation, which is the Bible that the Jehovah's Witnesses use, that's their own translation of the Bible, they have inserted the article A in that position, okay? Here's a copy of the text, all right? This is from there. This is the copy of the New World Translation, John 1. You see the article A there. The Word was, what? A God. What's the problem with that? Chuck?
It's a lowercase G.
Absolutely, it changes the whole thing. But not only that, but more importantly, and here's the question that you ask them, okay? How many gods are there? Do what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you see, here's, well, apparently it didn't save that page on there. If you go to Exodus, if you go to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, somebody turn there and read that for us, please. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. This is where God gave Moses and the Israelites the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. The first three verses of that, and particularly verse 3, says what? Who's got it?
And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me.
Okay, wait a minute. You shall have what?
No other God.
How many?
No other God.
None. Okay, so if Jesus isn't God, but he is a God, then what you're teaching is you have more than one God, right? Which is a direct conflict with what God has said in the commandments that he gave to the Israelites. You shall have how many? No other gods before me. So this whole idea of being a God or a lesser God, as they would say, goes in direct contradiction to what God, the one they claim, you know, and they'll hail as Jehovah, he's the God, but he said don't have any other gods. And like Chuck said, they don't have a clue as to what to do with that. You see? They don't know what to do with that. All right? So again, what am I doing here? I'm planting a seed of doubt. Now, and I'd encourage you to do this. I've got a copy of the New World Translation. I also have a copy of the You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth. When I sit down and study with them, I like to get that, and here it is. It's right in your Bible, right here. Okay? And you notice, because this is a picture of out of the page there, you notice that I have that highlighted there. Okay, so I can just show it to them. Here it is, right? Your Bible right here says you got more than one God. Okay? All right. Where else do we go? John chapter 5 and verse 18. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Okay? Now again, when I'm studying with them, I'll go and read that verse out of their Bible. Okay? All right? So you can say, well, our Bible doesn't say... No, it does. That's what it says. Okay? That the leaders of the Israelite people recognized Jesus as claiming to be equal with God. Not a lesser God, not a God with a lower case, but equal with God. That's why they wanted to kill him. Okay? Because they understood what Jesus was saying about himself. And you might throw in there, you know, maybe before you go along this line here, you might throw in, well, if anybody knew who Jesus was, don't you think it would be Jesus? That he would know who he was? You know, would there be any question, any doubt in his mind as to who he was? You see? And most likely they're going to acknowledge that, yeah, Jesus would know who he was. Okay? So I'd like to try to get them to, you know, acknowledge that. All right? So here is a text where he's making himself equal with God. Okay? Again, they don't know what to do with it because they don't even know it's there. Chuck?
That's what I asked the guys at the NBA. I said, do you know why they killed Jesus? Do you know why they crucified him?
Yeah.
He claimed to be God.
What did they say?
I asked the question.
No, they don't. They do not believe in the Trinity.
No.
Right. But we don't even have to go there. So I'm saying, with all of this, you don't even have to go there. Okay? The question is, who is Jesus? Is he God or is he not God? That's really the thing we're focusing on. Okay? Is he God or is he not God? Okay, if he's a lesser God, then you have more than one God. You see, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Okay, because they either have to acknowledge him as God, which goes against their teaching, or they have to acknowledge him as a lesser God, which then they have more than one God. Which is it going to be?
The whole focus of the book of John is establishing
who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to see.
That's why all these passages are coming from John here, exactly. You want to talk about who Jesus is, John makes that very clear.
Especially all of the I am.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about one of those here in just a moment because they like to change that, okay? Right. Okay. So if you're one, then is he God or is he not God? Now what they will say is, to that particular one, just kind of need to be aware of this, okay? They will say, well, that's one in the same way that a man and wife become one when they get married. They're not physically one being, okay? Spiritually, they are one. That's how they would address this. Okay, so they have an answer for that particular one, all right. And that's basically what it will be. Okay, look at Jesus' claims here. What does Jesus again say about himself? Okay, and they will claim this. Okay, that Jesus never claimed to be deity. Okay, well yeah, he did. He said, "I and the Father are one." Okay. And again, in chapter 10, verses 31 and 32, the Jews, understanding what Jesus is saying here, okay, they knew what Jesus was claiming. And that's why, again, as Chuck mentioned a moment ago, they wanted to kill him. They picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which one of these do you stone me?" Okay? And they said, "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be what? God." So Jesus even gave them an out, okay? And said, "Oh yeah, we're stoning you because you healed on the Sabbath." No, didn't take that. You committed blasphemy. And again, as Chuck pointed out, why did they crucify him? Or blasphemy. Okay? He claimed to be God. They understood and recognized that. No question in their mind whatsoever. Okay? Any thoughts, comments, question on that at all?
I think we've got a whole bunch of questions about them anyway. Because I work with Jehovah's.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to study with them, tried to point out that Jesus is the Son, but I sometimes got the feeling that they didn't even really believe there was a Jesus, there was a
right.
Son. So they
right.
just confuse me. And they can't confuse you if you don't know.
Right.
They can really confuse you if you don't know the
right.
word. Yourself, or not just knowing the word, how to get it over to them.
Right.
You know, because I have studied with them, and I just be looking at them like.
Yeah, where you come up with that from?
You know.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I mentioned at the beginning here. Jehovah's Witnesses have a certain doctrine, okay, of several different things. And they are taught and they are indoctrinated into not only what that doctrine is, but how to teach other people that doctrine. And they know how, don't they? They'll go from this passage to this passage to this passage to this passage. And I'm telling you, if you sit there and listen to them and you don't know any better, it's convincing as can be. Because they're pulling it all out of where?
Mm-hmm.
They're taking it from the Scriptures.
And then...
Okay?
I have my Bible. Okay, now you open up your Bible and let's read.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading from the Holy Bible.
Right.
They read it from their Bible, and I'm looking at myself. Well, what do that word mean? You just said, "Come on, let's look up this word. Let's mm-hmm. look up your word." But they be like, well, "Y'all just changing the words around."
Right. Yeah.
Y'all really have changed the words
right.
around.
Right.
But if you really go and look up the words, let's look up the words. That's
right.
what I do. Let's look up these words. You know, so we can be on the same page.
Right.
You know, so we can be in one accord.
Right.
The words basically mean the same, but you still want to mean something else, and I'm like, okay.
Right.
What do you do? I'm like, okay. Because I'm not getting through to
right.
you. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've taken and changed the wording of some of the text. Mm-hmm. Their Bible really isn't a lot different than ours.
It's not.
Except in a couple of key places mm-hmm. to try to support their doctrine, they've changed things, okay? And so, you know, again, if you know what the scriptures are, you know what the scriptures say, then what they're teaching is going to be real evident to you. You go, mm-hmm. right, okay? But if you don't, then it's very convincing. You know, that's why they're so successful, because they know how to go from this text to this text to this text and tell you what their beliefs are and their doctrine. They'll show you from the Bible. But of course, they're taking a lot of those scriptures out of context, okay? But if you don't know the scriptures and you don't know that they're taking them out of context, you're just sitting there going, okay, sounds good to me, all right? But that's why what I'm emphasizing to you is this. Let's talk about Jesus. Because quite frankly, as I said at the beginning, if we can't agree on this, I'm not going to waste any more time with you. Okay? Because this is basic fundamental, who Jesus is. He's our Savior. Okay? And if we can't agree on who He is, then stop wasting my time. All right? So that's why I hammer this whole particular part of it. Okay? Now, in John chapter 8, verse 58, when Jesus is questioned about his authority and so forth, Jesus says in about Abraham, okay, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. Okay? But look at what their translation says. The New World Translation says, before Abraham came into existence, I have been. So they've changed the wording of that. Okay, basically, because what their doctrine says is that Jesus, again, where did he come from? He was created by God. He was the first of God's creation. Okay, so by the time that Jesus made this statement to the Israelites, he would have been roughly about 2,000 years old. Okay, you can point that out to him. If that's how the statement should read, okay, then Jesus would have been about 2,000 years old at the time. Right? Anybody else that you know through history that lived 2,000 years? Not even the patriarchs in their time, you know, and so forth.
So, besides changing that meaning also by pulling out the words I am,
mm-hmm.
that's one
yeah.
of the statements where that reflects back to what God told Moses.
Right,
was,
exactly.
His name was I am.
I am. Exactly what Jesus is referring to here. Okay, he identifies himself with God as being the I Am. Exodus chapter 3. All right. So again, just be aware of this. That's how they get to this point. They're going to change that a little bit. I've been. Okay. So what you're saying is Jesus was 2,000 years old, or roughly around there, right?
Some of their doctrinal books and Bibles, where do you get that?
Well, I've gotten them from used bookstores and paid a quarter apiece for them.
Okay.
If you go to a used bookstore, they've got them there in, you know, different places that I've gotten. That's where I've gotten a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll give you one. If you go to them after, they'll give you one. If they'll come around, yeah. Chuck?
If he's supposed to be 2,000 years old, all this will make his mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, But see, they would make a distinction. This was, you know, before he became a man.
Which was born by...
Right. Yeah. But see, again, their problem that they have is that they have not thought through these doctrines and these teachings and these positions. So basically, again, what am I doing? I'm trying to plant some seeds of doubt, right? And I'm doing that by showing them how the things that they're believing and the things that they're teaching, first of all, they don't make any sense, for one thing, and secondly, they don't agree with what the rest of the Bible teaches. Okay, so they need to address that. Okay, how do you answer that, Chuck? Well, again, they would make a distinction between, at that point, they would argue, just again making you aware, you know, that between his physical life versus his time that he was created. Okay? But again, just be aware that's how they've changed that text. Okay? So if you can become aware, but they're going to answer it in that kind of way. So, no, that's not talking about his earthly life. See, that's talking about from the time that he was created by God. Okay? And speaking of the being created by God, they will go to Proverb 8 and use Proverb 8 as their proof text for the creation of Jesus. Okay? And if you go and you read Proverb 8, and it's talking about being the first of God's creation and so on and so forth, but this is a great example of how they take the Bible out of context. If you don't know what Proverb 8 is talking about, it sounds really convincing. Well, I guess Jesus was the first of God's creation, and he was a creative being. What's Proverb 8 talking about? Anybody know? What's the context of it? Go there. What's Proverb 8 talking about? The whole proverb, Proverb 8 is talking about wisdom. Yeah. It's not talking about Jesus at all. The context of it is wisdom. Okay? So again, see, but if you don't know that, which none of you did, okay, you see my point. All right? Then they're going to take you there and they're going to try to convince you that Proverb 8 is all about Jesus being created by God, the first of his creation, the most glorious and all those other things. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus.
It says in verse 22, it says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his work.
Mm-hmm. And they say that's talking about Jesus. But if you read the whole proverb, it's very easy to see that it's talking about wisdom. That's the context. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what they use as their proof text that Jesus was a created being. But that, again, it shows how they will take it out of context to try to prove their belief in their doctrine. Do what?
They're pretty good. They twist that
one. Well, they do. That's their proof text for it.
Part of it is they go through these verses in such a rapid fashion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Plus come up with an adequate rebuttal.
Yeah.
Because they've already moved on to the next one.
Oh, yeah. They're just kind of going one to the next, one to the next. And again, sounds real convincing if you don't know what the Bible really says. Okay? All right, let's talk about this one. John chapter 20, verses beginning in verse 25, 27, 28. Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Okay? The first time... Thomas was not there. Okay? And the other disciples told Thomas, y'all can turn there and kind of be checking this out, okay? The other disciples told Thomas, and what did Thomas say to them? Right. Yeah, basically, yeah, unless I see it, I don't believe it. So that's why Thomas is oftentimes referred to as what? Doubting Thomas, okay, because he doubted. So a week later, Jesus appears again to the disciples, and Thomas is there. Now, I kind of set this up this way. Because here's another thing that Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and thus the title of their book, You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth. Okay? That they believe that only a literal 144,000 people are going to actually go to heaven. And all the rest are going to live here in paradise on earth. Okay? Now, you know, again, we could get into a whole discussion on how to study about that, but we don't need to because we're going to focus on Jesus. Okay? But here's what I do is set this up. Okay? Of those 144,000 people, do you think that the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, would be included in that? Absolutely. Do you think that the apostles would know who Jesus was? Absolutely. Absolutely. They would definitely. If anybody knew who Jesus was, the disciples would have known who Jesus was. Okay? So then we go here and we start reading this. But when Jesus appeared the second time, and Thomas was there, and he said to Thomas, put your finger in my side, touch, you know, and so forth. And Thomas, who's one of the enlightened ones, one of those 12 apostles who knew who Jesus was, who's going to be with Jesus in heaven, that they've already agreed on, okay? Thomas says to Jesus, what? My Lord and my God. Thomas, one of the apostles, one of the enlightened ones, called Jesus his God.
And Jesus didn't correct him.
He did not.
If you were not a God, he would have stopped him right there and said,
Nope. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll tell you, you know, again, and keep in mind, all I'm trying to do is plant seeds of doubt, because I know, and you guys, you've studied with him, you talk with him, you know how difficult it is. I'm going to plant seeds of doubt, and then I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to keep wasting time. All right? So I was studying with a Jehovah's Witness, a woman and her minister, because the two women came by this one day, and they, you know, they want to study. I said, yeah, let's study, and so on and so forth. And I told them that I was a minister. Okay? And so they set up this, the one woman set up a time. Well, let's get together. And I don't remember, it was like the following Saturday or something. I don't remember, but it was, you know, a couple days later or whatever. And so when she came back, only one of the women came back with her minister. Okay? And they wanted to study. So we sat down and we studied. And I did exactly what I've shown with you this morning. Okay? I said, we're going to talk about who Jesus is. And we went through all of these texts that I showed. And we came to this one. Okay? And I pointed that out to them. The minister. I've got another appointment. I need to go. He had no answer for this whatsoever. None. See? Did I plant seeds of doubt? Probably not with him, although you never know. Okay? But I hope maybe that I did with her. Right.
I think you did because he had another appointment. He got to go back and really look at this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he knew he didn't have an answer. He couldn't come up with an answer.
And he probably felt like he needed to get this woman out.
Exactly.
She might not be as indoctrinated as I am, and yeah. She might start believing this.
Yeah. So, but again, my point is I planted the seeds. All right? Now, I don't know what God does with those. All right? I'm going to leave that up to him. Okay, but I did what I need to do, and I'm planting seeds of doubt to challenge their doctrine and their teaching. Okay, and let that fall where it's going to fall. But the other thing that goes back to, you know, we talked about before, from there I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. Okay, I'm not going to keep wasting time and arguing stuff with them and, you know, and so forth. Why? Because, again, if we can't agree on who Jesus is, which is the foundation of my faith, all right, then we don't have anything more to talk about between us.
And God is not the object of confusion.
No.
We need to, we as Christians in particular need to make sure that we don't get ourselves caught up in
exactly
that kind of stuff.
And how do you do that? What? You got to know the scriptures, just like you know we talk about with Proverb 8. You don't know what the scriptures are saying, then they're going to come along and tell you something, and it sounds convincing. You're liable to believe it. It's talking about wisdom.
It's wisdom.
Wisdom is the context of Proverb 8.
Right, and I see that, but it's saying that someone was born.
Wisdom was born.
Wisdom
was created, yes, by God. Yes. That's the context of it, okay? So, you know, again, what I wanted to show you today, and we'll just 1 second, Ray. What I wanted to show you today was to make you aware of these things. And here's a route that you can go to plant those seeds. Okay? And that's our job, is to plant the seeds. All right? So if you can follow this, then you can do that and sit down and study with a Jehovah's Witness. And let them know, show them the truth of the Scriptures. All right, Ray?
I just wanted to say that we must always remember that Jesus Christ was not the creator of anything.
Right.
He was with God in the beginning, and there's too many scriptures to prove.
Right.
And we must be able to stay focused on that.
Right.
And not get swayed over to the, you know, on some other, because of what somebody else was.
Right, absolutely. Well, and just if you're taking notes or whatever, you can continue reading on in John chapter 1, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, and what does it say after that? Through Him, all things were created. Nothing that has been created was created without Him. So how could Jesus be a created being if everything that was created by Him?
Amen.
Okay? How could that be? Then
yes.
Either you're wrong or the Bible's wrong. Which is it? Okay? But it clearly states that everything was created by Him. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, is another place it talks about the creation. Okay? All things were created by Him and for Him, He says. All right. So again, they have to answer that question. If Jesus was created, then this isn't true. Okay? And that's their Bible states that, by the way. Okay? All right. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you all very much. Chuck?
Right. We need to love these people.
Yes, we do. They're lost.
I was brought into the life.
Okay? Yeah.
And
that. Yeah, they were taught these things, and what we need to do, again, try to plant seeds of doubt so that maybe somewhere along the line they might go, hey, there are some things here. They might start looking at some other inconsistencies that they're being taught and start looking and going, hey, maybe I need to check this out a little bit further. You never know.
Amen.
All right? Mm-hmm. Dale?
You're making a list of verses also. I know you didn't have time to hit them all.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them.
Seen
the Father, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's John. I mean, again, you know, just go through John, and there's so many statements that are made about Jesus, and Jesus makes Himself about who He was. So no question there at all. All right?
Amen.
Okay, thank you all.